No, you're supposed to save that for the end. That's what it does at the end.
I know, but everybody thinks it's my voice, and it's not.
I know. Are you upset that it's not your voice?
I thought it was the voice of the agency.
I know. All right, well, episode 52, we're back. As you can tell, that is not Rob's voice. That is Rachel's voice. She's back again. Welcome back, Rachel.
Other important R in this world.
Yes, two R's. So you stopped by for lunch, and I said, hey, let's do a podcast. Super fun. Always fun. Designers getting together, talking about design and cutting the graphic design out of the air, right?
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
That used to be, one of our friends said that after a portfolio review at the Portfolio Center. I think you and I were sophomores, so we had zero.
Sophomores in college?
Yeah.
Okay, so this
we
is going back to.
We had zero to show. I think we had a marker comp
the
to show.
The dinosaur age, yeah.
And our friend, we got out of there, and he said, man, you could just cut the graphic design out of the air. And we've held on to that.
Absolutely.
That was a great expression.
Yeah, it was a great expression. So especially at the beginning of our career, we'd come home and talk about graphic design. It was like, all right, we got to stop. We need to talk about other things.
I don't know. I've always loved graphic design.
So that being said, here we are. We're going to talk about graphic design.
You want to?
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I think, all right, so recently we had some anecdotal projects that I know that you were working on, right? And we're not going to name names. We're not going to shame anybody or put anybody on a blast, right? But that had gone through production and had gotten messed up. We'll say it like that, right? So like you do all this great work for people and then you get all the way to the end and then boom, it's not what it's supposed to be. People aren't following, brand standards or how do we want to call it? It just kind of got all goofed up in production. Is that a fair statement or how would you say that?
Yeah, that's a really fair statement. And I think one of the things that I come up against is one of the things that I can lend to organizations, and the organizations I like to work with are education and healthcare.
Yeah.
On a pro bono level. So I'm a volunteer, and so I like to work with them to help boost their brand. And you and I have done this a few times. It feels good. It leaves a legacy. There's definitely a legacy that we have left in the Atlanta education system.
Sure.
So I'm pretty damn proud of it, and I think our kids are pretty proud of it. What happens often, though, is you set these things up for additional volunteers to take over, use in whatever way a brand mark would be used.
Yeah.
And you do everything. I've done it one color, two color, three color, four color process.
Yeah.
I've done it to print in reverse. Everything. I've tried to educate. But in volunteer positions, there's a lot of turnover.
Sure.
And so quite often, I am hitting my head against the...
The what?
When I see it on the road and I'm driving, I want to hit my head on the...
Steering wheel?
Steering wheel, yes, because I see it messed up. In a main place in our city.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Well, it's funny. You mentioned that there's turnover and stuff. But I would say that on the professional side, we've worked with many companies where their entire marketing department has turned over. And now we actually know more about their own marketing decisions and the why than the people that are employed at the company, right?
Right.
So turnover and sort of the educational aspect is definitely part of the business now. I don't think it used to necessarily be part of the business, but it's definitely more and more part of the business as people sort of jump around more often, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, oh my gosh, I've been through three full marketing departments at this one company. We still obviously have institutional knowledge as to why XYZ happened and,
right.
and why the decisions were made and things like that. But, I don't know that there really is a great answer in terms of how to stop sort of production errors or brand guidelines at the end of the day, not being adhered to, right?
Right.
And some of it might just be a blunder from the production side, from the printer or whomever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of it might be bad, just not using the right identities and whatnot in the right places.
Right,
so,
right.
It's... I think following, brand guidelines sometimes can get a little bit challenging, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Once
mm-hmm.
we let go of something and put it out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kyler and I on a previous podcast talked about the things we like the least maybe about our job sometimes.
Right.
And that came up in regards to you're putting it out in the world. And I had mentioned a lecture that I think we both went to, right? The Geisbühler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. It was hey, here's 50 pictures of my logo totally destroyed all over the world, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So yeah, it's you know, I think the turnover is just a fact of life. And I think that's why brand guidelines actually are super important, you know?
Correct. And making them easy for anybody, not just a designer, to understand.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, at one of the schools we worked at, I have a one page that I have on the website, and I say, don't do anything until you read this.
Yeah.
And it's really easy. You know, there's a lot of big red X's.
Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't
yeah.
do it. Yeah.
And it, I think maybe it like gets under my skin so much because it was a volunteer position. And,
yeah.
You know, there, I'm trying to put my finger on it. But so years ago, Don, back when I was teaching, I wrote a blog, and it's called Alignment Logic, which my students will understand as a term I used to use about using alignment in your
sure.
design and everything. But I wrote this one post about, you know, why does this happen? And I called it Don't Stretch Before Running. And running being, you know, don't run the ad, don't go to the press and run
yeah.
it. You don't even post it on the website. And, you know, how would you feel if you painted a painting and somebody just took all the horizontality? Are all the verticality, let's
okay.
just go in the other
sure,
direction,
sure.
out of it and squashed it, you know? And so I found like half a mile away from Coca-Cola headquarters,
yeah.
The Coca-Cola script just completely squashed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was
printed on a sign for a restaurant.
Printed yeah. on a sign for a restaurant.
Yeah.
So I wrote about that, and you know, why would that be so important? You know, there's such easy ways to be careful not to make that mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I get documents from clients with their, you know, and by documents I mean PowerPoint, right? Which is probably the number one offender of squishing and stretching and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, man, you've taken your own brand and like totally destroyed it. And this is what you're showing to your client. Like, it's so funny, you know?
Right.
So some of it, you know, some of it's going to happen. It's just, there's no way around it, I guess.
Right.
You know, like the low hanging fruit stuff, sometimes it's just going to happen. You got to fight the fight for the good stuff, for the
yeah.
high profile stuff.
Correct.
And, you know, we talk about this internally as well. We're working on a project, and I mentioned, you know, with turnover and whatnot. You know, new brand team and whatever. And it's interesting how sometimes clients sour on their own stuff internally far quicker than the rest of the world does, right?
Why do you think that happens?
Well, because they're living with it, breathing with it, everything, you know, to help develop it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we basically work on stuff months, you know, or possibly even years before
right.
it even goes out the door, right? So you're living with these brand guidelines and you're living with the brand as it is designed at least for 6 months, you know, talking about it all the time, going through the different versions before it even makes it out into the public,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, right?
So they've got, you know, 6 months of emotional baggage. I don't mean that in a negative way,
yeah.
but like 6 months of living with it, you know, and then they want to change it quicker. You know, it's like, oh, it's only been out for 6 months and you already want to redo things. You already want to change things. And it's like, no. It hasn't, you know, what happened to reach and frequency? You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
and like, you want to make sure you drive home that message before you change things, you know?
Right.
But juxtapose that with turnover on a client side as well, right? Where, hey, they've lived with it, you know, longer than the general public has. And then, oh, a new team comes in and wants to put their fingerprints on things. You know, I think that definitely does, have a significant portion as to why, you know, clients want to change things up so quickly.
Right,
you know,
right.
Now that's not going to stop them from squishing and destroying their own logos and their own brand attributes
yeah.
and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
you know, not following brand standards. I wish there was a way to, you know, kind of force everybody to live by brand standards, you know, but
there probably are in some countries.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, you know, one thing though that, how long have you and I been designing professionally?
Too long. Let's not date ourselves.
So, back to when we were dating.
Yeah.
Our eyes are incredibly trained, and I have often people say, "Only you see that."
Yeah.
Only you see that.
It's true.
Rachel.
It's true.
You know, only you see that the stroke is too thick or too thin.
Yeah.
On whatever. But it's been really interesting working in the volunteer capacity because I have, and I used to use this expression with my students when I would try to teach them why not to use Comic Sans and why to try to start out with Helvetica and all of those things about typography, I would say, I've brought a few other people to the dark side with us.
Sure.
And I know that's a Star Wars reference, I think.
Yeah.
So our eyes are trained, but I have had other volunteers who work with me who have no creative background, whatever.
Yeah.
Come over to the dark side.
Yeah.
And that's like the best thing ever. I had one who was a scientist.
Yeah,
who
welcome.
Will always send me things.
Yeah.
You know, we've been parenting together for almost 20 years, and she'll be like, oh my God, look at this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're speaking my language. And then recently a lawyer, you know, jumped on the bandwagon of, you know, wanting to use things correctly. And so what I've always said in these volunteer positions, I don't care if I did it for you 15 years ago, I'm happy to put eyes on it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, you know, that's one way to just say that moving forward.
Well, what are your thoughts on, this is kind of an oddball question here, but what are your thoughts on kind of the democratization of design and how, you know, readily available design is to non-trained designers? I'm trying to choose my words carefully, right? And even, you know, Mike and I chatted about AI, you know,
right.
a while back, right? And now we've got, you know, the Adobe tool set. Adobe obviously makes Creative Suite, you know, Photoshop and Illustrator and whatnot that everybody uses on our side of the fence, right? Well, now it's, we've got Adobe Firefly, right? Which is, hey, just doodle out a little thing and then it's going to create a logo for you and 10 different versions based on what we think your little doodle was, right? Potentially all from your phone and you can use, you know what I mean?
Like, have you tried it?
No, it's in beta right now.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you know, as we get more and more non-designers, and there's always been non-designers designing, this isn't like a new thing, right? But I mean, just with, you know, the technology of readily available for everybody on their phone to design their own anything,
right?
I would venture to guess that, you know, it's going to get potentially worse, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Before it gets better.
Correct.
What are your thoughts on that whole sort of subject?
It's wild because I've worked on two projects, not pro bono, recently, where I've actually had the conversation with a client that in order to be most cost effective, if they would allow me to set up their brand standard in Canva templates.
My Lord.
Yeah. That they could save money on the back end.
Yeah.
And it's true. If you come to a designer like you and me, and again, my client, these two clients will always come back to me and ask me to put eyes on something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But an admin and their office can do that.
Yeah.
So as far as using the proper colors and all of that kind of stuff, I don't hate it. I just say it's not the industry standard when somebody asks me to use it. And it makes people... what's our expression? Dangerous. Knowing enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if they're going to use the right color, if they're going to use the right font, because you set that template up for that and it's not in Adobe Creative Suite.
Yeah.
It maybe, you know, maybe it will get better. I prefer an education and you always know I have.
Sure.
What do you think?
I think that, you know, it's... technology is a great thing when pointed in the right direction for the benefit of everybody, right? But I think that humanity has proven that we don't always necessarily make the best decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Be that ethically, morally, or, I mean, those are big, big umbrellas versus, you know, just from a design perspective. And, you know, not every single project on the planet needs a designer to do it. Like, I'm not naive enough. Like, there is a time and a place for, you know, excellent design and spend the time, resources, energy, money, whatever you want to call it, right? Versus not, you know? So, you know, I think the hope and goal is that it makes the world a more beautiful place, right?
Correct.
I don't know that that's actually going to happen, you know? It's it's like memes are awesome, you know? Like, hey, I'm a big fan of memes. Like, they're hilarious, you know? Like, Twitter 4 years ago was the funniest place on the internet, right? I mean, before I just got completely overrun and whatnot, right? And no one, you know, no professional designer is sitting down and designing all these. I mean, that's the democratization of design and typography and things, right? And yeah, it's bad type and it's bad, but that's kind of part of the charm. So, you know, I'm definitely not anti. I don't know that I feel like potentially Firefly is a bridge potentially too far.
Okay.
You know, but I don't know yet though. So it's, you know, we'll wait and see. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, the type of work that you do and that I do, you know, will benefit greatly from the tool set that's provided to customers. I can't be there every single minute of their day, holding their hand, doing every single presentation and every single proposal and every single design execution, right?
Right.
So all we can do is kind of point them in the right direction and hope for the best, you know, and give them the tool set that's the easiest that they can use, to benefit their business and their sort of daily life. And then, hey, we come in on the big stuff. We come in on, hey, we're doing your website. We're doing your ad campaign. We're doing your, you know, all your sales collateral and, you know, all the big things that are nice and unified and stuff. But the right. But the little tactical deliverables, you know, it's, you know, the speed of the way the world works now, it's like, we can't do every single little thing for you. Right.
So. Right. Well, and I have had at least three clients, and my clients are mom and pop, you know, compared to what you guys work on here. But I've had at least three clients buy a Fiverr logo.
Oh God. Yeah.
And then give it to me to punch up.
Yeah.
they liked the, you know, swash that they got from it, but they knew the font was bad.
Yeah.
And I see that around town too.
Yikes.
Some of those logos still, but you know, at least I had, you know, some hand on it, and you know, because I want to play nice with my clients.
Yeah, of course.
And I would never, you know, nobody's dumb. They don't, you know, they just need to ask the right questions.
Sure.
So here I'm going to throw this to you. My parents were real early adopters when it came to technology.
Yeah.
Like we, you know, had first computer in our house. My dad brought in a word processor from Xerox that was about the size of this room.
Hilarious.
In our basement. It was so cool. So
we
always had that kind of stuff. I think that might have, you know, been one of the things that made me interested in type. And then when we got an Apple IIe, mm-hmm. my parents bought me something called Print Shop. Do you remember Print Shop?
I don't remember Print Shop on Apple IIe. I think I remember Wavy Navy, but I don't remember Print Shop.
So Print Shop was really cool. You could do banners.
Oh, cool.
On your dot matrix paper.
Yeah.
You could do cards.
Yeah.
And it's how I learned how to fold a card.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you do it flat and then you'd fold it up two ways. And I think back to probably, I'm going to say his name again, our buddy Massimo.
Sure.
What the hell was, because that was in the 80s. That was when he was at the height of, you know, doing everything. And here was, you know, little 8-9-year-old Rachel just thinking I was doing the best graphic designs ever.
Sure.
So I was wondering if you remembered that, but it sounded like you had something similar. So.
Now we had, so obviously I grew up out west and Apple was based in Cupertino and I believe still is. And so the entire sort of greater Bay Area public education system, we all had Macs. I mean, we had Macs forever, right? So, I mean, we had Apple IIe's. I remember that in school. And I remember when we all got, you know, the Mac, you know, version one or whatever.
Right.
And we had Mac Paint, but everything was still black and white. There was no color.
Right.
So it was all like based on texture and mm-hmm. whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember fiddling around with that type of early stuff, you know. But I think design was still, and even when we went off to school, you know, design, there was still an actual handcrafted quality to it where, I mean, you know, you know, you have to buy the registration stickers and cut your ruby lith and amber lith. And nobody even knows what I'm talking about right now when I say this, you know, but there was still an arts and crafts component to design and execution. And it wasn't necessarily as technologically driven yet. I think intro to computers, when we took it, I don't even think that was on a Mac.
No, it was on an Amiga.
Amiga, yeah. I mean, what in the world? What the hell is an Amiga?
I'm not even sure I retain what we worked on.
I worked on a cereal box. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
So
I did some kind of an animation.
But yeah, I think we did have to do some animations too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't really know how to wrap this one up. But
the only thing I was going to say is that remember in our education too, I don't think we got to actually touch a computer unless we owned one. Until the beginning of our third year. Do you remember that? Because I remember once we finally took Quark Express that it was presented to us as a tool.
As a junior? I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it came in sooner.
Well, but you and I
did transfer in.
Yeah. So but I just remember like, oh my gosh, it's making things so much faster because we had done everything by hand up until that point.
Yeah, for sure. Well, techniques of graphic design, all those marker renderings, those fun stuff. So.
Yeah.
All right, we've totally devolved off of brand standards and not following brands. Any final thoughts on brand standards?
Just ask us to put eyes on it.
Yeah, seriously, folks. All right, let's go eat some lunch. This is fun.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.